Welcome to another edition of the 51%, Conversations with Creative Women. I'm Sandy Klein. When you think of children's snack food, does lemon broccoli, orange chocolate beet, sweet potato, oatmeal raisin, or zucchini gingerbread carrot come to mind? My guess would be a resounding no. But those are just some of the selections moms and dads can purchase for their kids, thanks to Alex Buckley-Voris and Maggie Jones-Patton, who happen to be co-founders of Bitsy's Brain Food, which has been around since 2012. These businesswomen, educators, and moms share two simple beliefs: healthy bodies and healthy minds are connected, and learning to eat smart should be fun. So there's nothing artificial in their alphabet-shaped treats made with real fruits and vegetables and packed with vitamins A, B6, B12, D3, and omega-3. The snack and cereal box designs include interactive packaging, cool superfood stickers, characters that spark a child's imagination, and a website designed to keep their minds active. It also features resources for parents and has healthy recipes for the entire family. Alex and Maggie, who have a combined 20 years' experience working with young people, met at Children for Children, a nonprofit that focused on teaching youngsters the importance of volunteering and giving, as well as empowering them to solve real problems. Maggie was the executive director, Alex, director of programs. CFC merged with the Points of Light Institute, resulting in Generation On, the largest youth service organization in the United States. Among the programs created during their tenure was Building Healthy Communities, a childhood obesity prevention initiative that was among the first federally funded programs of its kind. Well, that's enough from me for now. So, ladies, welcome and thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Before we get into your extensive resumes, who is Bitsy?
There's a little bit of Bitsy, I think, in both Maggie and me. She comes from our imaginations, from some of our storybook heroes from childhood. And she's just kind of a magical little girl whose goal in life is to get all kids to eat super smart.
And how did you come up with Bitsy?
Well, we knew we wanted to create a brand that would really speak straight to kids and empower kids. And we know the power of characters to do that.
Of course.
So we wanted to create our own unique characters instead of licensing existing characters out from television, but really create characters that were just all about our brand principles: eating healthy, being creative, being smart. And so Bitsy, the idea was kind of, she just came to mind one day. Literally, I actually was visiting my parents. And we were also looking for a name that would be really easy for kids to say, mm-hmm. so that would build
and
into
it was
the
alliterative Bitsy's Brain Food.
Right. And the brain food piece kind of had always existed because, you know, our belief that learning happens everywhere and wanting to weave that into snack time and mealtime was
a no-brainer.
A no-brainer, yeah. And that was what we were looking for a brand, to build a brand around. So the Bitsy piece was born out of that. There's a little Bitsy of all these good things in there, and it's just kind of a whimsical name, and it just hit.
Starting a food company, I mean, come on, is no easy feat. Give me the genesis of this, because I can't imagine starting anything.
I don't know. I will say that, like, I definitely think that I'm just kind of one of those people, and Alex is the same, that are constantly having a lot of ideas. So we had been working together for a long time, and actually the idea around starting the food company, one day commuting home from our nonprofit job, again, just popped into the head, really out of this experience of being on the ground, working with kids and food and trying to make healthy fun for them, and just seeing the options that they were faced with every day and, you know, walking the grocery aisles and just kind of realizing that there's just not a lot of good packaged food that is also fun and that's focused on kids. So the idea was way back then. It took us a while to get to a place where we were ready to, I think, jump off the cliff and, you know, embark on it. And I guess it is really challenging starting a food business. There's a lot of operational logistics, a lot of, you know, safety, regulations, processes that you need to go through. And so there's a lot of devil in the detail in this business, for sure.
But did you just one day, either one of you or both of you, go into your kitchen and one day said, I think I'm going to make a snack that's lemon broccoli? No, you couldn't have done that, did you?
Well, I mean, we actually kind of did.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, where would you combine lemon and broccoli or sweet potato and, you know, chocolate or whatever?
in Alex's parents' kitchen. We knew that we wanted the food to be packaged in a way that was educational and fun, and we wanted that the food itself to have real functional benefits to kids' brains and bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew that we wanted to do that by teaching them about the power of real fruits and vegetables. So we wanted to put the vegetables front and center and do good PR, so to speak, for broccoli. So we basically researched.
Broccoli needs good PR.
It does. Mm. We researched all of the key vegetables, fruits that are most nutrient dense in terms of supporting healthy brains, healthy bodies, the key nutrients kids need. And then we basically went and bought all of those things along with a lot of other interesting organic ingredients and had to go to Alex's parents' kitchen because our New York City apartments were really too tiny for gigantic experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And we pureed and blended and made all kinds of crazy concoctions. And these were the winners.
So the two of you were experimenting in your parents' kitchen for all intents and purposes.
I think we were educated about what we were doing. But yeah, it was absolutely an experimentation.
And it was a success. I mean, you ate it. You tried it.
Yeah, we ate it. We tested it with kids. We brought it into our nonprofit. And people really liked it. And I think we just knew that we were onto something important. And it was the kind of thing that the formulations of what we were creating, in many ways, the fact that neither of us are extreme, like, chef-type people, it was more, I guess, what is the phrase, like, necessity is the mother of invention. It was more, you know, what we knew, we wanted. We were becoming mothers at that time when we were really doing the innovation. We were educators. We'd spend our lives around kids. So I think we just kind of knew what would work with kids and what we wanted to put together. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to keep it simple in a way, too.
Did you have children at home at the time that you could experiment with?
I was pregnant with my first child, and I think incredibly focused on being as healthy as I could be. And just very, very aware of what I was putting in my body and sort of thinking forward to the way that I wanted her to eat as she grew up.
This must have had such an impact on you in your nonprofit work with this childhood obesity issue. You were confronted with it, for all intents and purposes, every day.
We were. And I think, but what was really exciting about what we were doing is how I think we were able to make healthy eating really fun for kids and really to mobilize them to impact their communities.
Mm-hmm. But that has to start at home. And isn't that the biggest challenge if mom is serving KFC because life is complicated and she's rushed and whatever, and it's hard.
Mm-hmm. It is. I mean, I think we really believe that it both starts at home and in the grocery store aisle. And I think that's one of the big things is people don't realize the incredible impact that grocery store buyers and their decision-making process on what they're going to bring to your store, how that impacts your entire family's health. You know, and I think that is really the power of moms and women and consumers is demanding better options. And I mean, unfortunately, I think that there also is a lot of bias with communities where I think people do stereotype still and think like this community is going to want these foods still. They're not going to eat the organic. Those kids aren't going to eat the healthier stuff.
Exactly.
That's not them. And it just perpetuates this terrible cycle.
So let's go back to this. So you're experimenting in the kitchen. You're saying, hey, this doesn't taste bad, you know, and you're giving samples out to people. Then what do you do? What's the next step after that?
I would just say that we knew enough to know, I guess, what we didn't know to some extent. So we always called and asked for advice. And I think that's something that from running a nonprofit and just being thrown into a lot of different circumstances throughout our careers, we always both of us, I think, were very much of mentor seekers and advice seekers. So get enough wisdom to be able to hit the ground running. And then I think, I mean, honestly, thank goodness for Google, because I would just say half of the early things that we needed to figure out, the web is such an incredible resource. And that probably sounds like a gigantic cliche, but there's really nothing that you can't learn to do through the web. I mean, you could get your entire college education online now. You can learn about anything. And there's just, if you're digging for resources, it's really all there. It's just about digging and being willing to, you know, dig and then do diligence.
Rolling up your sleeves.
Learn.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I think both of us, too, are just, we really do like the challenge. I mean, it is incredibly challenging. And it's every day something happens that we're like, you cannot write this stuff. Like, what? But the challenge of it is so fun. And I think being at a place, too, in your career, I think everyone experiences that hunger to
no pun
be learning.
Intended.
Yes, but to be learning again, you know, and evolving. And
You knew the time was ripe for you to maybe leave the nonprofit world. You had expended all your energies there. It was time for you to move on.
Well, I think we're very mission-driven in what we're doing right now, too. I don't feel like our hearts are really still the same in terms of what drives us. However, I do think that after years of working on the front lines with kids,
right.
we both very much believe that, you know, you can't just – that oftentimes – programs are putting a Band-Aid on a problem, and it's really business that has to change. And when it comes to food, I actually think that's the truth. Like, we can have our kids out exercising and doing, you know, playground programs and organize, you know, money invested from foundations and throw that all that we want at schools about getting active, et cetera. And you know,
but that's only one solving
it's only one
pa-
piece,
part, yes.
Right? And what's available in the grocery store aisle is just such a critical part of this issue.
But then again, people can make their own food at home for their children. I mean, my son and daughter-in-law mash sweet potatoes, then freeze them and put them on a stick, and my granddaughter has sweet potato pop.
Props to any and all parents who do that. And, you know, I really think that Maggie and I benefited from this incredible explosion in the baby food category, where there were really so many packaged premium organic products for kids that we knew we could feel really good about. But as our kids started to get older, we really noticed this sort of vacuum in the kids' space.
If you're just joining us, my guests today are Alex Buckley-Voris and Maggie Jones-Patton, who happen to be the co-founders of Bitsy's Brain Food. Okay, back to starting this company. Where'd you get the money?
You know, we really just fundraised through friends and family.
Kind of a Kickstarter sort of thing. And people donated.
That's the good part of a nonprofit background is you're basically professionalized askers of resources
right.
and professional
right.
beggars. And,
yeah.
you know, just selling believing in an idea mm-hmm. is, I think, you know, what we had done for a living, really. Selling believing in an idea to help kids. And this, again, is just another iteration of that, really. So
you get a financial foundation. And now you have to take this somewhere on a much bigger scale.
Alex and I are literally involved in every aspect of producing our products, soup to nuts. I mean, mm-hmm. from the formulation to being on the production line to quality assurance to making sure our organic certificates are in place to running taste tests with kids and making sure, you know, and then out selling it into the stores. And it's kind of the phrase of the day is like hustle, hustle, bring the muscle. I mean, every day is a different aspect. And I think that's one of the things about being in a startup too, is you really are involved in every single different piece. And it does, like, allow you to be really nimble and flexible and, I think, try to make the best products that you possibly can because you have so much control in
But
that
flexibility
way.
Notwithstanding, it has to be overwhelming. You seem so blasé about it. All right, maybe I'm just
And
too...
it does feel that way. I mean, Bitsy feels very much like a yeah. child, like a very demanding child. Twins, perhaps.
Twins.
quadruplets. Or yeah,
that seems more yeah. like it to me.
Yeah. No, it's I don't know. See, I guess the part is that while it's beyond challenging every day and things happen that could just totally derail you, I think, if you just – the only option, I think, to us is to keep going and just, you know, never – the phrase has become never, 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 never give up.
Mm-hmm.
And failure's not an option. And just to keep pushing and striving
because you believe in what you're doing.
Right.
Well, that helps. I mean, and when you can see that it's not some pie in the sky, no pun intended there, idea that you have, but something that you really firmly believe in. It's not just whimsical. It's not, hey, I'm into this so we can make a killing and then move on to something else.
No. I mean, we're just all in. And I think – every night, I mean, both of us talk about this all the time, how like every night I think we go to bed and whether it's 4 a.m, like last night, I mean, we were emailing back and forth and it was 1 and I was like, well, glad to know we're both up dealing with stuff. But, you know, I think both of us go to sleep every night very thankful for the opportunity to be doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's not a day, even when, you know, challenges stare us down, where I think we aren't enjoying it on some level.
That's terrific. So yeah. Who is it besides Alex and Maggie? You have a staff, obviously.
There's no way we would be here if it were just the two of us.
So clearly, if people go to your website and they see how creative and alive and fun it is, who came up with that? Who's the creative part of your duo?
Maggie.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. I actually, one of the weird things about Alex and I is like a lot of people I think when you're starting a business, are like, well, how are you each other's balance, you know? And we're actually very similar, but I think that's in some weird way how it works too, because with the juggling of everything, it's like, I don't know. It would be very hard to do it without, I think, sharing a brain to some extent. But
well, you have quite a history together.
1 + 1 = 1 with
right.
us. But it's to the creative piece of the website and all that, I will say my husband was really involved in it. We have a friend who we knew what we wanted with the characters. We kind of had Bitsy in mind. And then my husband, who is a creative director and in advertising, he really then said, oh, okay, and sat down one night and made a little deck and kind of created like an outline of these little characters and their personalities. And suddenly there was Bitsy, Buck, and Baxter the next morning. And, you know, he had given birth to two more little people for the little crew. And
must be crowded in your household.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's crazy. So, and then, you know, we knew we wanted to do – our education philosophy was always kids first. And we wanted to bring that into our company, which I think
you
is
mean
one
to
of
appeal
the,
to them
kids
before
first.
The parents.
Yes. Yes. And that in doing so, you do right by the kids and do right by the parents,
got
too.
It.
So it's – putting the health of kids first, putting their fun first, all of that, I think is actually what moms and dads are looking for in a way. But so we knew we wanted to create a really kid-facing website. We knew we wanted to be very character-driven, and we wanted to have fun and games. And
well, like your alphabet-shaped snacks. I mean,
right.
That's pretty smart. What are you eating? I'm eating the letter A.
We knew that kids learn in 3D. So versus sort of sometimes you'll see snacks where the letter is stamped on. But kids really learn by holding a letter and experiencing letters that way. And my daughter, funny, I mean, she predictably but truly learned her alphabet through Bitsy's brain food. And we've seen that happen with lots of kids, all of our friends' kids. And
uh-huh.
That's been really so much fun.
Is all the creativity from your two brains?
Yeah.
It should be Alex and Maggie brain food.
We did ponder Smart Alex snacks at one point.
Oh, that's cute.
But yeah, no, and I think the creative piece with my husband too, and then also Lizzie, who's on our team, who's been with us since the very beginning, is hugely creative and had run a children's bookstore and events business before working with us, very entrepreneurial as well.
When you started the company, what did you have in mind in terms of ages?
Really kids.
Kids like what age kids?
We sort of say 2 to 10. I mean, I think children as young as 1 can really start eating Bitsy if they're eating solid foods and their parents are comfortable with their eating solid foods.
We think kids are very aspirational, and you can see that in different brands where, for example, you know, you have Play School and Hasbro. And I think even with the baby food space, or like there was a huge explosion in the last 5 years in terms of the pouches.
Yes.
The pouch
yes.
food. Mm-hmm. And for example, my son, I mean, he really differentiates between one of the baby food company brands' pouches and their branding and a Go-Go Squeeze applesauce, for example, which he identifies as kid. And even as a 3-year-old, he really doesn't want something that makes him think of baby food. Being a big brother.
Got it.
So it is really that 2 to 10 range. But it is for everybody. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the most important things for us is we eat all of our kids' food. And we really believe that we shouldn't make food. If it doesn't taste good enough for you to eat, does it really taste good enough for your kids to eat?
It's almost how dare you? Well, he'll like it. Well, who cares if he likes
right.
it?
Right. And I think that's actually kind of part of the problem, too, in that so many of the sort of baby kid, organic, healthy cookie crackers can be pretty blah. And I mean, it's no wonder that when, you know, Timmy runs down the street to the Oreo-packed pantry, they go raid it and go crazy. You know, the taste profile is so important to us. It has to taste great. We sell at a little market that is under the Goldman Sachs building downtown.
Downtown Manhattan.
In downtown Manhattan. And it's a lot of men shopping there. The product actually sells well there. Even I think everyone likes the idea
men?
Of brain food and a healthy
men
snack.
Men are buying that product?
Yes. My dad actually demos. We sell at Whole Foods in the Southeast. We're in 3 regions of Whole Foods right now in the country. And my dad is actually – thank goodness for him. I mean, but he's out there demoing for me in the stores. And it's great.
Delicious.
It's so authentic, you know, and he sells it to so many adults and to 60-somethings, you know, because of the omegas and the vitamins and all that need for brain support that we all have. You know, it's interesting. Our cereals contain choline, which is a very important mineral and nutrient for supporting healthy brain function. And the FDA is actually just releasing some new information on that, and research is continuing to evolve. But I think a lot of the nutrition profiles in our products just are important for everybody, actually. So we really try to make it so everyone can eat it.
Again, I'm going for these obvious statements in terms of no-brainer, but it just seems to be a no-brainer. Why is it that you just have to fill your cabinets with sugar pops?
I think there's two things driving a lot of the problems. One is the taste profile and how people just have not – businesses have not made the right decision by kids to lower the sugar content of a lot of products. And then they force, you know, other companies that are trying to do right by kids to increase their sugar to compete from a flavor profile. Whereas kids that aren't introduced to that extreme sugar, you know, if we were all doing better by kids, that wouldn't be such an issue. The other big issue is price.
That has to play a major role, does it not?
The pricing of food, I think, is one of the biggest problems in terms of childhood obesity and the health and wellness in America. Because, you know, businesses obviously have to make their decisions and have their margins that they're looking for when they're selling their food off the shelf. And for example, you know, for us to make the choice to put real fruits and vegetables in our cookies versus maybe a competitor who recently decided to put vegetable dyes in their cookies to make them, you know, and write on the front, colored with vegetable dyes. And those cookies are going to be cheaper than ours. Do they have real vegetables in them other than vegetable dye? No. And I hate to call it out like that, but I just kind of feel like it's one of those things where at the end of the day, it's how I feel about being a working mom, frankly. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say it's all easy. And it really aggravates me when people do, because I just want to call a spade a spade, you know? Mm-hmm. And I feel like everyone with food when it comes to kids should be honest about like what they're doing, you know? And the standards around food and nutrition for kids. And I think retailers being willing to partner with companies like ours and maybe take a slightly smaller margin so that we can make food that's that much better for your kids to eat, you know. And I think that's the thing to know, too. When you see Bitsy's Brain Food at a retailer, that is a retailer who is really behind bringing better food to your kids.
Would you say it's a retailer with a conscience?
I would. Mm-hmm. And I really – our retail partners are amazing and so passionate about doing right by kids and trying to do better. And those buyers that bring us in are, to me, just such heroes because they're the ones that are going to help solve the problem that, you know, by kids' fifth birthdays right now in our country, one out of three children is obese. That statistic is pretty staggering.
And it's 2014, and I think that's the thing that's just so disheartening. Oh, really? We're just singing the same song over and over again. Why can't we seem to move the needle? Was that hard for you guys to get your product on store shelves? Can you find Bitsy's Brain Food in most grocers?
Well, Wegmans has been a great partner for us, and we are now in all Wegmans stores. So that's a great partner to have on the East Coast.
They have bought in and been a partner with us from the beginning and supported us through entrepreneurial hurdles, challenges, the bumps along the way.
And you're clearly not the first company
to
do this that they've been involved with.
But they're really, I think, innovators and leaders in the grocery and retail space. I mean, the Nature's Marketplace section of Wegmans is where our products are. They have kind of a store within a store model of healthier products and are just real leaders. And they're also very unique, I think, again, in the way that they treat and support the brands that they believe in that are startups and have been just a huge champion for us. And then also Whole Foods.
You said, yes.
We're in three regions of Whole Foods. What I love about Whole Foods, the grocery team leaders at Whole Foods stores, the connections that you build, that's one of, I think, my favorite things about doing this is the store-level relationships with the folks that are really there when a customer asks, I'm looking for a snack for my kids, when they get passionate about your brand and support you. And we have had some really amazing champions at Whole Foods grocery teams.
That's
that
wonderful.
I just like love. And then we're in Texas and HEB. We're launching in Sprouts. So it kind of comes across the West. And then
so you guys are on the road a lot, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. It has been, it is. I mean, I think we try to interweave, and I mean, it's kind of a giant mesh of like our kids and motherhood and Betsy's. I mean, to tell you an example.
I call my husband Maggie regularly, by the way.
And my husband's named Al. So Al and Alex, it is a complete, yeah.
Confusion, but, yeah.
Yes, uh-huh. Yes. And I think it's funny. I don't know. My son both associates himself as a member of the Patton family and Team Bitsy. But it's funny. We had one of our advisors called us actually this weekend, called me to tell me he saw us on a display in one of the Wegman stores in Fairfax, Virginia. And he started telling me a story about he calls and checks on us, you know, and we're lucky we have people that do that and who are supporting us and know how hard it is. And he said, I was riding back on the train yesterday and this woman had her breast pump and bottles and I just thought of you, Maggie. And I thought, like, this is pretty funny that this, you know, 60-year-old man associates me with my breast pump. And, like, and
but
really
wonderful.
I know him from the business space, you know, and I cracked up. And I love this man so much. So if that tells you anything
it tells
about
me plenty.
Like, how
yes.
it's been. And I think I sold our first Alphabet Smart cookies into our first Whole Foods with the baby Bjorn on me.
So what do you see tomorrow for Bitsy's Brain Food? Are you going to expand your product line to include what? Can you share that?
Oh, that's all top secret. But we have so many big ideas and really big dreams for Bitsy and how we really want to innovate in the categories that matter to kids and mm-hmm. matter to families.
We're not going to talk specific categories
okay.
because we feel like people are at our heels a little bit. And by the way, like the competition is great because I think it just is driving innovation. And at the end of the day, you know, like we said, for us, it really is all about the kids.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And so that's what we want to see happen. And we want to, our dream is, you know what, when there's a kids section in the grocery store and not just baby, and there's real nutritional standards around that, and moms know where to go to make a better choice, I think that we'll really feel like we were a part of that. When we go to a retailer, we don't just talk about bring our products in, we really talk about that. That's where we want to see the grocery stores go, and we hope Bitsy's is helping to lead the way there.
Well, it sure sounds like it. And if not for nothing, forget what's inside the boxes. It's the boxes that are so eye-catching. They're colorful. They're out there. They're just not bland, boring, whatever, you know, cereal in a whatever, you know.
Right.
I would eat it.
Yeah.
You know, why
we
not?
We hope you do. We're going to send you some.
Well, then I'm going to eat
it. Up.
When your head's really finally hit the pillow, you must feel just great.
You know, I'm not sure we really stop long enough to do that. I think every once in a while there's a moment that makes us sort of pause and reflect and feel lucky for what we've been able to build so far. But every day is fraught with challenges that are exciting and unusual and that keep us pretty busy.
Part of the thing we realized as we both became mothers doing this is we changed our mantra together to don't stress, do your best. And, you know, I actually think that at the end of the day, there's not a pat on the back as much as there is perspective taking. And there's a lot of that mm-hmm. because I think up against the challenges and up against the sacrifices, there's a lot of sacrifice in starting a business
I'm
like this.
Sure.
And
mm-hmm.
it can be really painful sometimes,
I
to
bet.
Be honest. And there's
when you're on the road and you're missing out on, you know, milestones at home, of course it's hard.
Yeah, that's really hard. And if you ever don't feel like, there's just such a delicate balance. And it's like when it tips a little bit too far to the uncomfortable place, you have to just really bring it back and have that perspective-taking moment and know, you know. And I think one thing, too, is that, you know, we each have a boy and a girl. And I do love the example we're setting for our daughters, too. And I think there is a big part with the women piece to
for
this.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. And that's important to us.
And you
our
pride
brand.
Yourselves on. Let me
yeah.
say that. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's terrific. It's been my pleasure to get to know you both. And I wish you more continued success. It's very exciting. And for everybody, it's Bitsy's, Bitsy's. brainfood.com.
Thank
Get
you.
To be a certain age and then something does happen to your own brain. I better stop popping your snacks. Join us for another edition of the 51% Conversations with Creative Women. I'm Sandy Klein.
Thanks for listening to the 51% Conversations with Creative Women. For show comments and suggestions, please follow us on Twitter at Sandy Klein Show. You can also find us on Facebook at The 51% Conversations. The show is produced and recorded by Chad Dugatz at the Hangar Studios in New York City. Sandy Klein is our executive producer.